أول داعية دخل إلى بريطانيا يدعو إلى الإسلام، من أين جاء إليها؟ كيف استقبله أهل بريطانيا؟ ما هو أول مسجد بني هنا في بريطانيا؟ ما قصة بناء هذا المسجد؟ كيف نظرت البريطانيين أصلا إلى الإسلام من أقوام خالطوهم بل ولدوا بينهم وهم مسلمون؟ كيف يستطيع المسلم السائح هنا أن يعطي الصورة الحقيقية المشرقة عن الإسلام؟ وما هو تاريخ الإسلام أيضا من خلال المساجد، من خلال التعامل مع الجامعات؟ وكيف نستطيع أن نؤصل ذلك حتى نتعامل مع الأوروبيين تعاملا يعيدهم إلى أصولهم ويمكن الإسلام بإذن الله تعالى من الانتشار بينه؟ تعالوا معي أقف مع خبير في مثل ذلك. عبد المالك،
الحمد لله بخير.
ما شاء الله تتكلم عربي يعني.
Very difficult, just a little bit.
I want to talk with you about the history of Islam in England. Tell me about it, if you have some information about it.
No problem. Some of the earliest connections that we find with this country, and as well as with the Muslim world, is in the year 788. We had an English king called King Offa, and he actually had some gold coins where on one side he actually had his head, and on the other side he actually had the Shahada on it as well. And it's said that because of his trade purposes with Muslim Spain at that time. And that's in the year 788. Even in the year 855, you find that when the Vikings went to Muslim Spain, the Moors basically sent an envoy, an ambassador to the Vikings, and it is said that it either went to Ireland or England or to Scandinavia. So it's a possibility even that early a Muslim came to England as well. But even like if you go to the time of the Crusade period, like in the year 1205, you find the name Peter the Saracen. Saracen in itself is an old name for Muslims that they used to use in this country. And it said that he's in Nottinghamshire, he is. And even at that time, you had like, you know, Robin Hood and the Merry Men, or Robin Hood and the thieves, basically. You had a character in there who was a Muslim as well. So like, you know, there are links during that time. And you had like an English knight who actually went on to marry Salahuddin's granddaughter, it is said as well. So there's a lot of connections. They are, some of them are perhaps legends as well, you know, stories, but some of them do have substance to it as well.
Okay, brother, in the old history in England, if anybody became Muslim, is they punish him or kill him or put him in the prison or something like this? Or it's free, anyone want to become Muslim, it's up to him?
Well, even when before people became Muslim, even when somebody translated the Quran itself, Alexander Ross translated the Quran, and it was printed in 1649. However, before that, in 1648, the printer was imprisoned. As well as, you know, Alexander Ross was summoned to explain why you made translating this Quran.
Subhanallah.
You know, but then it came out 1 year afterwards it did. But what you also find even that time, you had in the late 1800s, we had a very famous Muslim called Abdullah Quilliam. Abdullah Quilliam.
Quilliam.
Quilliam. Or his English name was William Henry Quilliam. And he actually had two wives as well. And this is in Liverpool. It's one of the earliest Muslim communities that we find in the Victorian times. He actually established what is believed to be the first masjid there as well. And what happened then, when they called the Adhan, they had stones being thrown at them as well. I mean, Abdullah Quilliam himself, he was actually a lawyer by profession, a police lawyer, not any ordinary lawyer. So he had a lot of like weight he could pull around as well. And he had a lot of people supporting him. We had the Ottoman Sultan actually called him Sheikh al-Islam, Britannia as well.
Subhanallah.
Yeah. And this was agreed by the Shah of Afghanistan and Persia. Persia made him like the ambassador as well. So he had a title which even by Queen Victoria from this country recognized him as Sheikh al-Islam, Britannia as well.
What year was this?
This is in the late 1800s.
So,
Does he have books about...
Yes, there is. You can now. There's a book written by his biography by a non-Muslim professor, Ron Greaves as well. It's a very famous book about his life, but he actually himself wrote poems, he did. He also, you know, within his establishment, he actually opened up Medina House, an orphan house, mm-hmm. as well, where he catered for the orphans as well. And even on what they say Christmas Day, this was opened for everybody, for the poor people of Liverpool as well, to come and get food as well.
Okay.
And he actually, believe it or not, there's around about 600 people he managed to convert as well.
Uh-huh. In the history, Islamic history, the kings, Muslim, is they have any? Are they have any connect with the kings here?
Yes. You had one who was like. For the Prime Minister of this country called Oliver Cromwell, whose statue sits outside the Houses of Parliament, he actually wrote to the ruler of Algiers as well, saying that, along the lines of your religion teaches us about righteousness and staying away from wrongdoing as well. So he was a bit familiar with the Quran as well. And you also had King John, who was Richard the Lionheart's brother. He actually sent three secret messengers to the ruler of Morocco as well, saying that he was prepared to faithfully give up the kingdom of Christianity and adhere to the laws of Muhammad, meaning that he was prepared to become Muslim. Uh-huh. However, this is the however, the Moroccan ruler, do you think he believed him? No. He says somebody who leads such a country like this will not give it up so easily. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine if it was... this was actually to take place. This country could have actually been changed since the 1200s.
Uh-huh. Do you have any information about du'at? Do you know what du'at?
Yep.
Da'iya, imam.
Yes.
Yes.
There was one famous one in the 1700s.
Uh-huh.
Would you mind, Sheikh, if I could take out the picture as well from my bag? Is this okay? Yeah?
Okay.
You don't mind. I know you're trying to take it off. Here we are.
MashaAllah. This is from England.
This was done in England. His name is Ayub Soleimani, or his English name, Job Solomon. He was from West Africa, and his father was an alim in West Africa. And he was, as we say, kidnapped from the shores of West Africa, put into slavery in America, but the American people realized he wasn't an ordinary slave. He was gifted, he was talented. He translated the books from Arabic over there. So he made his way to London, he did, in the 1700s. And what does he say is that there's a famous person called Hans Sloan, and there's a tube station named after him called Sloan Square, close to Knightsbridge, basically. And he actually went into service for him to translate books as well. Three Qurans he wrote off by heart, and he's in Oxford University as well. But the dawah part he did, when he was asked for the portrait, the artist goes, "Do you have any of your native clothing that you can put on so I can draw you with it?" He goes, he jogs first and says, "Do you think I actually packed my bags and I went on holiday to America that had a chance to take my clothes with me?" Number one. But then secondly, he goes, you know what? I will describe the clothing to you and then you can draw it around me. But the artist then goes, "Don't be so stupid. How can I draw something I've never seen before?" But this is his reply. This is dawah in the 1700s now. Powerful dawah. But he says, "You know what? I have been going around in this country, seeing statues, seeing portraits of God, of Allah.
SubhanAllah.
And yet I wonder to myself, how can you do this when you have never seen God?"
Uh-huh.
Powerful dawah.
كان متمكن.
And this portrait now has been bought by the Qataris, he has. So he's doing a tour of the world now.
طيب, your job, I think, with the tourists.
That, not only tourists, schools, councils, anybody mm-hmm. who wants to learn or make themselves more aware of the Islam-Muslim connections, contributions, presence, as well as stolen ideas in Britain, that is what we do. We raise the level of education mm-hmm. to the people. We have different types of people who come in, Muslim, non-Muslim as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the people think about Islam, the tourists and the students?
The students themselves, let's break it up. The Muslims themselves, what we try to explain to them and educate them is that the British Muslims who went to school here, they never knew about the Muslims' contribution to civilization. So they kind of grew up with a bit of an inferior complex they did about the Muslim community and what they contribute to society. Then they heard about Muslim Spain and they could become happy. And they hear about the 1001 inventions the exhibition as well. They become even more happy. But then they realize after Muslim Spain was lost, Muslim science finished as well. And what we try to explain to them on these educational walks is that it never stopped, it continued. And how it continued, which English person got the recognition for it, and which Muslim was not actually given that recognition to, for, from.
يعني يقول لك الشباب اللي يتربون في هذه البلد ليس عندهم علم لتاريخ الإسلامي في بريطانيا فيتربوا في هذه البلد وكأنهم يعني ما يحسون في ضروري بأنفسهم يعني يحسون أنهم أقل من الغير مسلمين
أقل من غير المسلمين
ولما يسمعوا على إسبانيا لما كانت المسلمين محتلين يفرحوا لكن هو يقول لك يفشي فرح الناس هنا ويعلمهم على تاريخ الإسلامي في بريطانيا
Would you like to know a couple of examples?
إيه لا لا أنا أسأله عن نظرة السياح الذي هو يعمل معهم نظرتهم السابقة عن الإسلام لما يرونه مسلم وملتحي أن أيضا الطلبة اللي هو يتكلم معهم إيش نظرتهم نزار السابقة للإسلام أساسا هذا أنا سؤالي
He said you know when they see the Muslim tour guide and giving him all this so what do they think about after you tell them what how do they react and what do they think about the Islamic history of Britain
They become extremely happy that they've been on it So far today, Mashallah Kutubillah, not a single person has said anything negative about it. They're actually happy. Even the English Muslims, they say, how this country is being seen as Judo-Christian now has to include Islamic as well, in terms of the makeup of the country. Because it's seen as a Judo-Christian country, but they say, no, it has to include Islamic as well, because the history is embedded within this society.
أول دخول الإسلام هنا في بريطانيا فقط الداعية اللي ذكره ولا دخل عبر مجموعة من الدعاة وعام كم كان؟
He said, you know, apart from the da'i that you mentioned, like Kulim or whatever, when the first time that Islam entered into this country, was it only just one da'i or were there many or how many were there? No. And what year was that in?
You're looking at individuals you are, like in 1205, that was somebody called Peter. He was by himself. He was actually a maker of crossbows, but he used to work for the king he used to.
How many?
It's just individuals. One was there. You had another one in Wales as well. It's just like there was two in Wiltshire, but it's very
small
much just
number?
Small, very very small number.
العدد قليل لكن كان في بس متفرقين يعني في مناطق كثيرة في بلد ويلز وبريطانيا في إنجلترا هنا في لندن لكن الكمية كانت قليلة.
الفتوحات الإسلامية ما وصلت بريطانيا قبل 700 سنة و 800 سنة.
He said before, like 700, 800 years ago, did Islam or the Dawah of Islam not enter this country?
No, it did. However, not the Dawah, but the Muslim customs did as well. For when they, you know, the Crusaders, they went over, okay. They brought their customs back. They did, i.e., the how to use the pigeon as a secret messenger, you know, to tie the message in the leg. That was a practice that the Muslims had. They brought that custom here, even in this country where you find the Christian women who wear the veil at the time of wedding. This came from Syria, this practice as well. You know the confetti? People say it's haram, imitation of kuffar, it's bid'ah, this. If Muslims did, this is a Muslim custom in origin. Then the non-Muslims over here brought it back from the time of the Crusaders, throwing the flowers. But in reality, this is from the Muslims it is. So if the Muslims were to practice this, it's reviving something from the Muslims, not imitating the non-Muslims.
يقول لك الدعوة قبل 700-800 سنة ما دخلت هنا لكن ثقافة العرب وثقافة المسلمين
وصلت
لهنا.
إيه بس الفتوحات ما وصلت.
And so there was no دعوة,
مثل الأندلس, إسبانيا وكذا.
So there wasn't like any taking over here or concerted effort?
No. There were letters being exchanged obviously by the kings or the rulers of Muslim countries being sent back and forth. This happened, yes. Just behind us as well, on the road over there, you had a Moroccan ambassador who came in the 1700s and he stayed there because of close proximity with Parliament. And he used to send letters back and forth. Even what was done to him wasn't actually pleasant. However, he maintained it, his name was cleared, and he continued the relationships with the government of this country as well.
كان في سفير مغربي هنا يراسل
المغرب أول مسجد the first mosque in England since how many years
okay the first mosque where we know they were doing five times Salah was in 1889 in Liverpool it was,
18, opened, 89.
Yeah, opened by Abdullah Quilim. However, the first purpose-built mosque, where they were doing Salah that we know, was in Woking. And the Woking in the same year, but afterwards. And that was actually opened by somebody who wasn't a Muslim. He actually opened up the mosque for the Indian students initially, to actually a part of there when they were studying over here, they could worship there, and he wanted to open up a church as well as a temple for the Hindu students as well. But what he actually done from there was that he had a Muslim name called Abdurrahman when he traveled the Muslim countries. Some people said that he was a Muslim, but some people said he wasn't a Muslim. Maybe he was a Muslim in disguise. We don't know that at the moment. But so some of the early Muslims kept, like some people do nowadays, that they keep it secret, they do.
What do you think about Islam in the future, inshallah, in England?
Inshallah, it's going to grow. The Muslims are going to face trials here. However, as Marmaduke Pickthall, who's a translator of the Quran in the Victorian times, with Woking Mosque, what he used to do also, he used to look at the early generations of the Muslims and look at what were the trials that they faced to compare them with the trials that the Muslims in this time, or his time, I should say, faced as well. So, you know, they looked at the Salaf at that time, they did, to look at the comparisons of what the Muslims had faced at that time and do a nice, a connection in terms of the experience of the Muslims.
I see in England, a lot of Muslims original from India, Pakistan, Lebanon. What about the son now to about Islam with them? يعني أريد أني أسأله الهجرة هؤلاء هل أثرت في أجيالهم الآن؟ يعني
so you know the parents migration, because this is people from many cultures here of Muslim origin, Muslim descent. So is it so their migration, has it affected their children's upbringing, or is it going to like in some
وسأله أيضا متى بدأت الهجرة the history يعني متى أول من بدأوا يهاجرون إلى
في
العرب
في المودرن إيرا يعني
لا في بريطانيا متى بدأ المسلمون يهاجرون إليها سواء جاءوا من بلاد عربية ولا غير عربية.
So as a whole, you know that the mass migration from the Muslim countries to here. When did it start? When did that mass migration start? So them coming here and living, the migration from their countries to here.
You had individuals like known as Muslim sailors, the Lascars. They had developed the communities in Cardiff, Tyneside, Liverpool as well. That's going from the Victorian era as well. Yeah, Victorian time from the late 1800s, 1850 onwards. Sorry. From the time
1850 وبعده يعني بدأوا من 1850 وبعده
من أول من جاء
who were the first people to come
أتراك
the Turkish people what ethnicities
no ethnicities it was Yemenis Indians from the Bengal part as well they were the first original you could say like a concentrated
Yemenis before Somalis 100 as well. Years
yes in the Somali community in Cardiff as well
الأجيال الثانية الآن تأثرت كثير بالثقافة بحيث أنها نسيت ثقافتها السابقة.
So you know when they've migrated, have they lost their culture or have they impacted on the culture here?
Some people have lost it, that's no doubt. Some people have actually found when they came here, this is when they were able to find their identity, their culture. So it works both ways. Sometimes the children, if you bring up more closer to this time period, I would imagine it would be the same back then as well. Is that they would have lost their heritage. However, sometimes the people themselves need to have that trial and they realize after a while it's not for them and what their parents were telling them is their heritage and the identity that they want to embrace because they can see the effects of that lifestyle they were having before. But this is the same as what we can say where non-Muslims realize like, you know, when they have interactions with the Muslims, how Islam is itself which is separate from the Muslims and you know they see the beauty of Islam and they can actually embrace Islam because even myself I used to be a non-Muslim I used to be a practicing Hindu 20 years ago I actually mixed myself up with Pakistanis and I became I became worse I did and I asked my Pakistani Muslims can I borrow your Quran to read they said no because they thought I was najis. Yeah, so they didn't want to give it to me. They said, I have to have a bath. And I'm thinking, why do you need to bath to read a book? You know? But then eventually I said I want to speak to, you know, somebody of knowledge, like a Muslim priest. I didn't know, Muslim imam? No, a Muslim priest, I thought, you're saying me. And, you know, let me read the Muslim Bible. So then I went to a mosque in Ramadan time. And obviously conversation took place, and I was reading books from the library. I read Abdullah Yusuf Quran I was given, which is like Shakespeare English, which I found a bit difficult. Yes. I was quite heavily dyslexic as well, which reading for me was difficult. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me persevere basically to read the Quran. I remember certain verses from Surah Ghashiyah, what the believers would be given in paradise. Specific examples here. Not like as they are practicing, they say whatever you want, you get in paradise. Exactly clear it was what the believers would be given in paradise. That drew me to Islam, that did. And what happened then, I actually thought, yes, I had to embrace Islam because it was clear for me.
Alhamdulillah.
بعض الناس لما يأتوا لهذا البلد بعد الاختلاط مع المجموعات هنا ينسوا الثقافات ومنهم اللي يلتزموا بالثقافات ومنهم اللي يعرفوا الثقافات حقهم الأصلية بعد سنين بعد ما يبحث نعم
بارك الله فيك عبد المالك بارك الله فيك الله يحفظك الله يجزيك
استغفر الله نبي